Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
All right, Michael.
All right, geezer, yes,
all right, mate. Yeah. Welcome to the Keith Walsh podcast. My name is Keith and...
My name is Mike.
Mike, very good. Seamless.
Yeah. Very seamless. You give me the little nod of your head there. It was lovely. It was kind of, is that something you do on radio?
That's what you do. That's what you do, Mike. Little signs just go...
Yeah.
Nod.
For the listener out there, he's just pointing fingers at people.
It's the Keith Walsh podcast. It's essential like your breakfast. It will get you up and going, learn some things you didn't know. Yeah, it's the Keith Walsh podcast. It's the Keith Walsh podcast. Give you energy like Buckfast. And if your head's in a pickle or you're looking for a giggle, it's the Keith Walsh podcast.
I'm very red in the face. I think I caught the sun. You're quite brown in the face. I think you've caught the sun as well. You were up a mountain today, were you?
Yeah, I've got all sun. Like I think I was a bit red earlier. I think last week I was standing on the sideline at a match I was in Croke Park last week, so I got a bit of sun that day, and it's old now, so it's a bit browner, you know.
Go on, the Lily Whites.
Yeah, we won, but it wasn't pretty.
Oh.
Mm.
But I don't, you see, I don't, sports-wise, what's the fucking, we won, but it wasn't pretty. Didn't you win?
Yeah,
but the Almanac show that you guys won.
Yeah, exactly. And history only remembers the fact that you won. They don't like the details are lost. But I'm not blaming the players or the team or the management. I just think...
But?
No.
The team and the management.
The game shouldn't be played in Croke Park because it's too empty. There's no atmosphere. Hard for the players to kind of... I mean, the players gave it their all. And I've no doubt they were all very tired and slept well that night. But just very hard to create an atmosphere...
Yeah.
And get that sense of occasion. And, you know, a smaller stadium with the same crowd would have been brilliant. It would have been a brilliant day, you know. And in the end, you know, Kildare only won by one score, 3 points a goal, you know. So it was, in a smaller stadium with the right atmosphere, that could have been a bit of a thriller.
Yeah, I get you, but it's kind of lost in the ether. Your shouts are almost wasted.
You don't even shout because you don't shout. I didn't even say "Come on, Kildare," because there's nobody beside you. There's only people like a few seats down, and you shout "Come on, Kildare," everyone's like, "All right, who's that weirdo over there?" Whereas if you're in the crowd, go "Come on, Kildare," it's different, you know.
Yeah, I also noticed your hair is very long.
Yeah, I don't know whether to get my hair cut or what to do, Mike. I don't know whether to go back to the short hair or...
No, I quite like the long. The long gives you that sense of sort of intelligence.
Yeah, it makes people think I know what I'm talking about. But we know different, Mike. We know different.
We know you're as thick as pigeon, but, you know, I'm always intimidated by people with ever so slightly long hair.
Yeah, okay.
You know, tall people. See this?
Oh,
this
look at...
love.
This is... Hello, Sally Ann.
She can't hear you.
Hi, Sally Ann. How are you?
Hello.
Sally Ann just walked in the door with how are you? With some crisps,
yeah,
and beer.
Ooh. Say hello, Sal.
Hello, Sal.
Perfect.
Lovely.
Perfect. that's what you were probably getting ready to sit down with a beer and some crisps and watch some telly, and then I'm like WhatsApp and you're going, you wouldn't be able to squeeze in a quick chat, would you, Mike?
I was in the shower. I was listening to John Fardy. It's one of my treats. I like listening to John Fardy.
John Fardy's great. Yeah, John is great. He does, yeah, really good.
Is this going to be really noisy?
No. I'm not one of those aural Nazis. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, aural.
Oral Nazis.
I know you're a bit of an oral Nazi.
Oral Nazi, that's different. Yeah, yeah.
Sure, you clean your teeth before you go anywhere near me. Oh, fuck, the old COVID cough.
So, John Fardy is a great guy, great show. What was he talking about? Any movies to look forward to?
Yeah, he was talking about a movie, which I might want to watch, actually, about it's done well at Cannes, the film festival.
Mm.
It's done well at all sorts of film festivals. I can't remember the name of it. You'll have to Google it. It's Norwegian. It's about four children who live in a block of apartments. And they all have things going on in their lives. But through one thing and another, they realize they're psychic and they can communicate with each other. And they can communicate the bad things that are happening in their lives and the good things. And I presume there's a little bit of domestic violence going on. And one of the boys I think, gets his own back on somebody else's dad.
Mm. So it's a bit of kind of like...
Yeah, you mentioned he was really freaked out watching it, but not horror, but just kind of freaked.
Okay. Is it called The Worst Person in the World?
Could be. No. I don't know. The fuck.
That doesn't...
You know me.
I just put in... two Norwegian world premieres. Oh, that's Cannes 2021. No. 2022. Yeah, The Worst Person in the World. That could be it. I don't know. There's a few young people on the red carpet, but it's probably not it. If anyway, go see that. That looks like a good Norwegian film too. So I went up a mountain today.
Yeah. Did you go up a mountain and come back down a hill?
The man who went up a mountain and came down a hill. Was that...
No, he went up a hill and came down a mountain.
Oh, was that Hugh Grant?
Hugh Grant and, Chief O'Brien from Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
The Irish guy. Who's
oh,
the,
yeah,
the,
Chief O'Brien. How he... Force Factor, put her into Force Factor 12 there, Johnny, whatever your name is.
He used to be on the desk when they sort of beam people up.
Oh, yeah, beam her up
Chief
there.
Chief O'Brien, the Irish actor who was in the Chief. Van and everything.
I know, yeah. Yeah, what's his name?
Curly
yeah.
hair.
Fella. Yeah. Feckin' Scalacci. Jesus, God love him.
Can you hear me crunch?
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. What's his name? Jesus, if this was radio now, people would be texting in. Email us. KeithWalshPodcast@gmail.com.
I met him before. I had, but yeah, Column.
Yeah, Meanie.
Mm.
Invented the crisps.
Yes, Meanie's crisps.
The Meanies, yeah, Colin Meanie.
Yeah.
So he was
a consultant for potatoes.
The man who went up a hill and came down a mountain. That's brilliant. So I went up Ben Bulbin. Have you ever? I mean, you've seen Ben Bulbin.
Yeah, it does look kind of space agey, doesn't it? It looks like something from the surface of another planet.
Yeah, it looks like something from Star Trek, doesn't it? Like that.
Yeah, that's where the guys would land.
Mm.
Two people who you've never seen before would die,
and yeah.
then the captain would return okay.
And then in the meantime, there'd be like people walking around naked because that's the way they do it on that planet.
Yeah. Yeah, and the women would be in charge.
And the women are in charge. Weird.
Naked women in charge.
Just too unbelievable.
They'd be oral Nazis.
But it looks like, if you see Ben Bulbin from one side, it looks like, I always think it's like Ireland's Uluru.
Mm.
If you see it from one side, you think, well, you'd never get up to the top of that. That's insane. Because it's just, you could probably get to a certain point and then it's sheer cliff. But actually, if you come around the back of it, the Leitrim side, I suppose, which is the way we came up, there's a nice, gentle and steep in some parts sort of climb up to the top. And it's...
Yeah, wouldn't you want a cup of tea?
Not oh, the views. Nice. You can see Roscommon. You can see Galway. You can see... Sligo, you can see Mayo, you can see Donegal, you can see New York, you can see Mike Marin's house. Yeah, you see everything.
Yeah, yeah, I can see Ben Bulbin from here.
I was waving at you. I could see you out sunbathing in the nip out in the back garden.
Yeah.
But I went with the Dublin Boys Club. There we meet up every now and then. We go on hikes or we have... You know, there was a meeting a couple of weeks ago where the lads sort of went through a sort of a meditation, or they might do a course on, you know, your feelings or emotions. Or
oh, Jesus, that's all very airy fairy.
Fatherhood, or love, or you know, how to you know, how to be a good partner, you know, all that kind of shit. It's good, very helpful stuff.
So I know you said before there are rules when you're out walking that you can't discuss certain things. But did you do that when you went up the mountain as well? Was that?
Yeah. So the idea is, so when we meet up, there's no drinking, and we only talk from what's the way you say it? You only talk from the eye. Is it from the eye of your penis? From the so every sentence should start with I, or you know, you're just talking about your own feelings, your own experiences, and your own opinions, not sort of abstract stuff like did you see the match or what do you think of that movie, or unless it's in relation to, well, actually, I saw this movie and they had a thing in it and it was really good and really helped me sort of figure this out. Do you know what I mean? Or I read this book and it's all sharing, being vulnerable, sharing your feelings. Talking truth to power, Mike.
I like a bit of that, all right.
And it's very healthy and very, and you know, I felt today after a walk that, like, you know, the world is actually not a bad place. There's some good people doing some good things. And I was reminded of something I heard someone say, there's a famous American kids TV, Mr. Rogers, played by Tom Hanks in a recent movie. Mr. Rogers was like a kids TV. And his mother used to say to him, if you see something bad happening on the telly or in real life, you know, like, God forbid what's happened in Ukraine or a bomb or, you know, she said, always look for the helpers. There will always be helpers. So that gives you the positive slant on the negative. Like, that gives you think, oh my God, we're all going to hell in a handcart. But actually, if you look for the helpers, you'll see them. And then you realize, actually, you know what? There's some people in there.
There's lots of good. There's lots of good. You know, you look at the Ukrainian situation, you see all sorts of people just heading off in motorhomes and buying ambulances and crowdfunding for X, Y, and Z. And everybody's trying to help this nation. I mean, they're really getting fucked over. It's terrible.
Yeah, they really are. And it's like, nobody seems to have the power to say, Russia, just fucking stop, will you? Or not just Russia, but Putin in particular. Mm. You specifically.
Yeah.
You strange man, stop doing what you're doing.
John Sweeney does it. The at John Sweeney, I think is at John Sweeney on Twitter. I don't know what his handle is, but he's the journalist that got
sacked. Oh, yes.
We've mentioned him before.
Yeah.
And he's now wearing this orange hat. And lots of people started wearing an orange hat who kind of follow John Sweeney, because he's, every time he's reported from Ukraine, he's been wearing this orange hat, but he's come back to London for a bit. But at the he'd be doing these really serious, you know, to camera pieces about what's happened and really fucking horrible stuff. And as for Mr. Putin, you can go fuck off. And that's how he signs off.
Wow.
All of his stuff, you know, literally, Mr. Putin, go fuck off.
Wow.
And that's, you know, he tops and tails it with him. He's the blame. He's the one that's shafting everyone.
Yeah. And it's very easy to blame Russian people. And also, I feel like sometimes, like, I know there is a sort of, like, you know, a boycott these brands because they won't pull out of Russia. I mean, I suppose that is one way of dealing with it in a peaceful, economical way. And, you know, maybe it would work. But also, I kind of feel like, well, the Russian people aren't to blame, really. No. And should they? I mean, maybe if they weren't able to get their McDonald's or whatever it is, maybe they might put pressure on Putin. But I just don't think he's listening to anybody. So
those sort of blanket things, you know, cutting off oligarchs' money, stopping dealing with sort of industries who do stuff, and, you know, Europe has been really good. You know, we're going to stop using their oil and coal, kind of ish, you know, and everybody's going, Germany's going to stop doing it. You can't turn that tap off. This is why there's no kowtowing, and you know, there's nobody's going, hey, Putin, fuck off. We rely on them too much.
Yeah. And also, it's not too far in the distant past that NATO nations were involved in grabbing back land or taking land that didn't belong to them or not allowing people to live on land that belonged to them before it was taken away from them. So It's very difficult. It's very difficult.
We're just not used to being in a world war situation where the big aggressors are around, and it's taking our generation and the generation below us a little bit longer to get to grips with stuff.
Yeah.
The older generation, who sort of remember the Second World War and whatever, are kind of going, yeah, well, this is what fucking happens.
Mm.
If you start letting people have too much power, this is what you can see. The writing's on the wall, and you know the press is all over the shop. The right-wing media's gone nuts. It's all fucked.
Yeah. There's a guy on the front of the Sun. I don't know if you read the Sun newspaper. Lots of people don't. No. And I support that. But it was just the headline, "I'm doing my bit," in brackets, "on the side," close brackets, "for Ukraine." So this man is doing his bit for Ukraine. Lad dumps other half for refugee they took in. So this man, his name is Tony. He's 29. He left Lorna, who's 28, after falling in love, head over heels, in fact, with 22-year-old Sophia from Ukraine. So they offered her somewhere to stay during the war. She moved in. He fell in love with her, and now they're planning their life together. So,
and this is your classical gaslighting from right-wing media, who will then be saying they're taking our jobs, they're taking our money, they're taking our women. Yeah. They're taking our men.
Taking
everything. Yeah, taking my bed. I've been shafted by Tony. All right, Tony. Love, not war. What a fucking.
Yeah, I feel bad for I feel bad for the missus, for Lorna. But, you know, Tony's got to get on with his life. He's got to do what's right. You know?
Yeah, but Tony's a bit shallow. I feel happy for her. She's out of that toxic relationship.
Actually, that's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah, you see, there's always helpers.
There's always helpers. There's always people like Mike Marin to point out how that woman has benefited from her husband running out on her. Tony, yeah.
Tit.
Better off without her, Lorna. Tony the tit. You're better off without her. Oh, my God. So, we did our walk and got up, got down about 4 hours, jumped in a river at the end.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus, it was called. And then drove home. And that's been my day today. But it's been good. It's been nice.
And how many of you went up the mountain?
Only five. We went down to Sligo last night. Actually Leitrim, just over the border, actually, from Fermanagh, I presume. And four of us stayed in a sort of an Airbnb gaff and then got up early this morning. And then another guy called Chris arrived this morning and joined us for the walk. So, yeah, it was good. It was a good buzz. Nice bunch. And then when you do those walks, you get to eat chocolate, you get to eat banana sandwiches, you get to, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You'd go absolutely. I went mad. I had a whole big bar of chocolate.
Did you have a Freddo, bag of, like Freddo's?
No.
Because you're addicted to Freddo's.
I don't have Freddo's anymore.
Oh, what did you have? Isn't there some controversy about animal bars at the moment?
Well, here's what's supposed to have happened. The shop in Cork says we don't sell animal bars anymore. Because the guards told us not to. That's the sign they put up. And then the guards are like, we didn't tell you not to sell the animal bars. Now, what could have happened is, of course, I believe the guards. The guard is Sigha Conan. Mm-hmm. Straight up. Just want to say that. But I don't libel anybody or libel myself or get myself in trouble or whatever. So
no, I believe shopkeepers. I'll take on the role of the shopkeeper.
I believe everybody. It was probably just a miscommunication. So maybe somebody asked. Well, anyway, this is the problem. Lads, people who have addiction problems and need the tinfoil. So lots of bars stopped putting tinfoil in the bars a long time ago. And animal bar is the only one that still do. So that's where people who have addiction problems can get their tinfoil. And they'll buy the animal bars and throw the chocolate away and just use the tinfoil. And instead of some people, in these instances, instead of looking at a solution for figuring out how can we help the people who have the addiction problems? It's like, oh, well, let's not supply them with tinfoil anymore. You know?
There you go. That's a bit more gaslighting from your right-wing press. Let's blame these people for using stuff. You know, let's blame them.
Yeah, blame the people. Yeah, yeah.
Blame the drug addicts.
Blame the drug addicts. And
not society. What's driven into that? Can they get housing? Have they had a bad life?
What traumas are they dealing with? And I was actually on the walk. I was talking to a guy called, actually, I won't give his name just in case, but he's a teacher. And he was telling me, and I can't quite remember the name of it, but they have this system now in school. It was really heartening. He says they have this system and they have a list of things. So they go through with a child and not necessarily with the child, but about the child or, you know, to people who know the child or whatever. And they'll go through the, you know, and it's basically a list of things that this child might have encountered, you know, as in like, are the parents dependent on alcohol or drugs? Have they suffered abuse, sexual, physical? Have they been homeless? Have they, you know, had their own addiction problems? Blah, blah, blah. And they go through this and then they rate them on this scale of sort of almost like a trauma rating.
Yeah.
And then they can sort of go, well, this person is, you know, at 9 out of 10 on this scale. So this is what they need. And these
are. I presume they're doing that because the child is showing some issues or showing.
Oh, yes. Something. Generally, they wouldn't just do it with everybody. Like it would be like.
I was going to say, fucking hell.
He said, interestingly enough, he's the go-between between the school and parents. And if a child stops showing up for school, he'll turn up at the house and what's the story? Yeah. And not in a judgy way. He'll say, well, how can we help you get the child out of school? You know, what services do you need? And he said everything from like even getting the parents, if they haven't been to school themselves or they need, like he'll get them into like English class if they want to learn to read or learn to write. If there's any of those issues that they can't, like if the child isn't getting forms back and the parents say, well, I can't read, they go, okay, cool, do you want to read? Let's, like, so really, like, great holistic
way of looking
at it. What's the problem? Oh, you know, he can't go to school, he's no breakfast, so we'll give him breakfast when he gets to school, don't worry about that, send him in. Well, he's no uniform. Well, that's grand, we'll give him a uniform, that's no problem. So any, whatever it is, the problem is, he'll have a chat with the parents and work with the parents to get the child back into school and also work with the parents to get the services they need as well. It was brilliant. But he said, interesting enough, there was a red flag around this girl who suddenly was in every day. And he was saying about this person, she'd never had that record of coming into school every day. She'd always be missing a day or two or three or whatever. She never, and he was like, she's been in every single day for the last.
That's out of the ordinary as anything.
And he was like, funnily enough, that was a red flag. That, you know, that was alarm bells for him. So he went out to the house and figured out what was going on and was able to help and all that kind of stuff, but it was something like one of the parents wasn't there and someone else had stepped in and they were like making sure, but anyway, but it was just great to see real progressive.
Yeah,
like he was saying children who have suffered trauma, they get into this place where they're just what did he call it, like lizard brain I think it's called, but they're just raging. They don't know. They've gotten themselves into a state. It's a fight or flight mode. They've gotten into a state. They're shouting, screaming, ranting, throwing things around. And he said, we now know to just say, you're okay. You're safe. Everything's okay. Do you want to come outside and have a hot chocolate and we'll have a chat? And he said, that's what we do. And he said, we can already see the results. And he said, like, initially with other teachers, they were like, oh, we're mollycoddling these children, you know. They're too soft. We need to, you know, he's sitting out there having hot chocolate when he's caused all this, you know, these problems in the class or whatever. But slowly they can see, even those teachers are seeing the results. So it's just great to see that those little changes.
I mean, I'm on a board of management for the school down here, tiny little school, but the procedures they've got in every little school, we have to go through a report every month. If anything happens with a particular child or anything happens with a particular parent or anything happens with a particular teacher, we go through not a rigmarole, but a set of sort of little data points that sort of, you know, is it this? No, is it that? And you get this little flow chart, whatever. And it's really, really helpful. And then you can engage, and social services are really, really good. I know they're up against it, and I know they have their own sort of issues and too many cases and all that sort of stuff. Everybody's underfunded, but generally when it comes to the welfare of a child, bang, everybody's all over it like a cheap suit, because you've so many people involved, because it flags any of these issues to the board. So you've got 5 or 6 people then who know, you know, we don't know who the person is or whatever. There's no specifics, but we know there's an issue. So we keep bringing it up. We minute it. We bring it up with the people who deal with us or who insure us and what, you know, so it's flagged. So it's good in a way that, you know, it's a cover your ass situation, which is a really good cover your ass. Lots of things are just covering your ass and copying people in emails and pasting this and that and the other. But this is good because you're flagging everybody. Somebody is going to deal with it because it grows legs. These little things grow massive legs and somebody has to deal with it. And because it's minuted and because it's reported on, it generally does get dealt with really quickly.
Mm.
And so there are massive positives out there.
Yeah, and things aren't allowed to slide either. Or
no, and you always hear of the bad stuff that slipped through the net.
Mm.
And it's not an individual. Nobody's going out of their way. A social worker is not going out of their way to not deal with somebody. You know, it's not. That's not what happens.
No.
You know, you can't. You know, you often hear of child A fell through the cracks, and it's horrible. Mm. It's absolutely horrible. And that's exactly what happens. They fall through the cracks. Nobody means to do it. There could be some issue at the top of the chain and somebody is meaning to be harmful or whatever, but generally everybody's there to help and safeguard.
Yeah. Unless it's the church,
unless it's a fucking maternity hospital.
Unless it's right-wing.
What the fuck?
Unless it's right-wing religious organizations who are fundamentalists and want to keep the family together, even though the children are being abused. Unless it's that, but everyone else is fine. Or unless it's the fucking National Maternity Hospital. Holy shit.
It beggars belief.
Mm. Well,
why these people who are in hock to the state, they owe money for abusing people.
Which they won't pay out.
No, they won't fucking pay it. We haven't got any money. We haven't got any land. Yes, you have.
Give us that land.
You've just signed a 299 year lease with the land that you own. Give it to the state. Miserable fucks.
And then the government just went ahead and
I can see it from both sides.
I can as well. But we have to at some point cut off ties. And this is now we're attached. In some way to the church for the next 300 years.
Ideal opportunity to say no.
No, just no. And even if it takes longer, and even, unfortunately, you know, we don't have the facilities.
No.
Yeah, they could be better, but this is very important. And I think if you were to explain to women, look, we really want to have the best maternity hospital for you here, but we think it's worth waiting another while to find land that we own, that we can own the hospital that nobody else is involved in, etc. I think people would have understood.
Compulsorily purchase the fucking thing, fuck the church out on their ear, and tell them to fuck off with their doctrine.
But then they're saying no, they'll have no say in the hospital. They'll have no blah blah blah. But you don't know what's going to happen down the line. You don't know. Like, we didn't expect the church to be as involved in the country when we won our independence, you know, back in the 20s. So you don't know what's going to happen. You know, we just don't know. We don't know what.
No, we don't. And they have, you know, no matter how much they say we've given it you for 300 years, it's going to be fine.
Mm.
We won't get involved.
Mm.
20 years down the track, they find something on this. I don't know. Some relic. We're going to have to take that back. We're reneging on that. And we as a state have pumped all this sort of physical and mental finances into this thing, made it the best on the planet, a great center for dealing with maternity issues and the sort of surrounding female issues. And they could just pull the fucking rug.
Mm.
And if they do, you know, they'll go to court because they are a litigious bunch of fucks.
Mm.
So they will have no problem in going to court. We'll go to the European Court of Human Rights now because we're all religious. We're all fucking... Fuck them. Fuck a lot of them. Everyone should be made sit down and watch the movie Philomena and tell them to go fuck themselves.
Yeah. And Song for a Raggy Boy as well. What's that too while you're at it?
Oh, never seen that.
Have you not?
No.
Jeez.
Song for a Raggy Boy. That's our first.
Check it out.
I presume that's not an upbeat sort of happy movie.
No. Aidan Quinn plays a priest who comes to work in a Borstels type school by the brothers, and it's pretty rough. Yeah.
He grows out it.
He doesn't. He tries to protect them. Now, in fairness to him, he's a good man. But he's up against the brothers, who are bad men. My son actually watched it with him one day. It just came on the telly and we started watching it. And I couldn't quite remember what it was about. And as it went on, maybe we shouldn't. And he said, no, this is, and it's one of his favorite movies now.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really, really good for him to see as well, because it's not too graphic, do you know what I mean? But you know bad things are happening.
What's it called?
Song for a Raggy Boy.
I'm writing that down.
Write that down. Check it out. Listen. I've been watching Picard.
Jean-Luc.
Jean-Luc, I've been watching it. What do I think of it? Let me try and...
Oh, dear.
No, I think I really like it. I like it. I'm enjoying it. Like, I'm a Star Wars... I know it shouldn't be either Star Wars or Star Trek, and you can...
No, I understand. It's two different universes.
Yeah, and Star Wars, I get. Mm. And that's always been where... Star Trek is a bit more... Like, I can see where it's grown out of the Star Trek that I did watch back in the 80s or whatever. Mm. It's much more like Doctor Who-ish almost, but not quite. almost like soap opera Coronation Street Doctor Who. I find Star Wars is a bit more gritty, a bit more real, a bit more. I don't know.
Because of the fact that they've got, it's almost a religion on Star Wars, because they've got the first directive, the prime directive.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're aware of that, but the whole thing that Gene Roddenberry underpinned Star Trek on was the first directive.
Right. What's that?
So it was about going out and meeting new planetary sort of
worlds, aliens, beings, yes. Others. Yeah. Yeah.
And you obviously end up on a planet full of naked women walking around and they rule the place and whatever. But this first contact, the prime directive is we do not influence them in any way, shape or form. So you're coming at it from this sort of almost inset higher moral ground, because we're not going to influence them. So they land there. You can imagine that, like, they'll land there with the cigars. No, chaps, we like the way you do things here. We're not saying we do it better, but we're not going to influence you. And they kind of go, oh, well, they're not going to influence us. They must be really nice. So let's take it. And they're always giving technology to somebody or giving a hand or sorting out something from our earthbound moral conscience laws of whatever. And these people appear like they're the heathens, you know, women ruling the place and putting men to death, you know, and black people ruling the place and putting men to death. They've done that. They've turned everything up on its side. You know, it's a message around, but come at it from a real white middle class male patriarchal society, sort of America, First Amendment. You know, chest thumping, you know, and it's, yeah, so it is a bit morally, I take, you know, I do see your point. It's a bit Doctor Who-ish.
Yeah.
But I can't stand Doctor Who in any way, shape or form.
Yeah, and I don't watch Doctor Who, and maybe that's a bad shite comparison, but I'm like, there's something about it that's a bit more, but it's American, but it's like almost like, it's more BBC American, like it's if, like, yeah. I think... It's more TV, I suppose, and yes. Star Wars is more film, and that's what it is, because it was a TV series and
because it's epic, because that's all starting out in space. So your man George Lucas wrote Star Wars, and it's based on other planets. So instantly, you know, you've got a goodie and you've got a baddie, but they're not goodie and baddie, Earth goodie and baddie. But these, you know, Star Trek is Earth. It's us. We're projecting ourselves.
It's almost like
and we always send good looking people out.
Yeah, it's like the Brits colonizing the planet. But who are the Borg? Have they anything to do with the Lager Tuborg?
The Borg are a collective. Now, they're based, you see, Gene Roddenberry based all sorts of the species that you come in contact with earthbound sort of religions and castes and creeds and whatever parts of society. And there's been theses written on what he has said, you know, the Klingons are, or what the Vulcans are, and what the Ferengi are, or whoever. But the Borg are this crowd that go round, and they will come to a planet. Oh, Charlie,
get out of your own back. Go on, we're talking about the Borg here. He doesn't like the Borg.
He's right not to like the Borg.
So the Borg,
get out. Just, throw a pillow at Charlie. So the Borg then assimilate whole, they turn up to a planet and they've got these implants and nanoprobes, and they kind of get these little like wisps of metal come out and go into people's foreheads. They put nanobots, nanotechnology, which does exist now, into people. They take whatever good traits those people have to the collective, and they become part of the collective. And some say it's a criticism of religion.
Okay.
Because it really is like, you know, the Borg Queen, this first woman who started doing this, it's a hive. So it's a hive mentality. They all are based on bees, but when they all talk, they can all talk together. So you've got gazillions of people with every piece of technology that they've ever assimilated. So Jean-Luc Picard actually was assimilated at one point, and he became Locutius of Borg.
Yeah, because when he is on that cube,
the Borg cube,
with the Romulans.
Yep.
And people keep saying to him, oh, hi, wasn't it? Yeah, whatever. And he's like, oh, yeah. And it's all, he's kind of having flashbacks of who he was back then, because he was obviously a bad guy and did bad things. But, and the other guy who's with him is going, that wasn't you, that wasn't you.
The Borg are the ultimate baddies.
Okay.
They come in, they take you for your own, and then you become part of the collective. And then what you do is you go and assimilate other. And it came up with the thing, resistance is futile. Oh, so when the Borg came onto your planet, resistance is futile. We will assimilate you.
Bang. Okay.
And they are really fucking scary buddies. And it's funny, my brother and I were in at a funeral once, and everybody was saying the prayer together. And he just looked at me and went, it's like being in the fucking Borg.
Because everybody was talking at the same time and saying the same thing.
Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord.
And what's the relationship between the Romulans and the Borg? Is there?
No, the Borg will take the Romulans.
But the Romulans are bad as well.
Well, you see, the Romulans are the sort of the baddies of the peace. They're kind of cousins of the Vulcans, but they're a warring tribe. So they come from Romulus. See, a lot of it is kind of Greek or whatever. Yeah, Greek history as well. So it would be, you know, it's all mixed up. Your man Gene Roddenberry was a fucking genius, but that's the thing. They can. There's another new Star Trek started.
Oh, Jesus.
And it's on various places. And it's now, it's like Captain Kirk style.
Okay.
That one, yeah.
And when you said that started, is it already filmed and it's been broadcast?
Oh, it's on.
What's it called?
God Knows.
Oh, good one. I like that name. Star Trek. God Knows.
Let's just check.
New
Star Trek.
Okay, cool. Yeah, well, I'm enjoying it. I think I could. I'm getting into it. I treat it like a book. And yeah. I'll watch a little bit of it on my laptop, and then I'll go late at night. So I might watch like a couple of chapters of an episode. I wouldn't watch a full episode, maybe half an episode, and then go to sleep. So I'm easing myself into it. There's no pressure, you know.
No,
I'm not pressurizing myself to like it or not like it. Or, you know, I'm just like,
don't feel pressure.
Just tipping away at it. And I am enjoying it. I presume Picard is different to a lot of, different type of thing than the other.
Yeah, it'd be different. It's almost like a sort of
spin-off.
Yeah, what do they call them in the Marvel universe when they do the background sort of?
Origin story piece, kind of thing. Okay,
Star Trek: Strange New Worlds, and there's a picture of the guys. They really are like Captain Kirk and those sort of things.
Oh
like
yeah,
old fashioned uniforms.
Yeah.
Apparently, okay. Very, very good. Well watched. Well worth a watch.
Okay, cool. Well, I will check it out. More Star Trek.
Yeah, the other thing I have to do is apologize that I said last week or last month even about Money Heist.
Money Heist, yeah.
Yeah, 10 episodes, I said. It's fucking seasons of it. I don't know how the fuck I dragged it out, but I've stopped watching it now.
I am... I started and I was like, I don't think this is for me.
It's very good. He's unreal, the planning that goes into stuff.
But... I know, but I couldn't get beyond that whole, do you know the way when like, it's not like the Spice Girls, but it's like, hi, I'm sporty and he's like really good with his brain and that's his dad. And,
she's
like really like, crazy, oh, like loose cannon, like, you know, might smoke a bit of pot, you know, and but she's brainy. And this guy's fucking crazy and he's Russian and he'll kill you with his bare hands. And, you know, this guy knows how to poison. This guy's really good with computers. He's a nerd, you know. And
it is a bit formulaic, but it was really good. Bear in mind, I was locked down. I was fucking,
bear in mind, I was locked. I was like, yeah, I could see that. I need to drink more.
I may go back into it if I get COVID again.
Yeah, no. I could see how if you were just looking for something, you'd nothing else to do, you could probably just get into it. But maybe I'm overthinking it, Mike. You know,
maybe you are. I've also stalled at Vikings Valhalla.
Yeah,
that was just the pace. Just there wasn't enough murder. I want Uhtred to kill people.
Yeah, we need Uhtred back.
And I'm really struggling with the accents, like hugely. Yeah. They're like Dutch people. They're like, hello, would you like to come to my sex shop and have the drugs? You know, that's what they sound like. And that's what Danish people don't sound like that.
But do they not? Would they not? I know they don't sound like that, but I like, because I watched the opening bit to the movie Northmen. Do you know this?
Ooh, I'd like to see that. Is that good?
So I really want to watch it, but I want to watch it on my own with nobody else in the fucking house.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to share it. Like, it's not a...
No.
You know, because I don't want my wife sitting beside me going, oh, I don't really like this kind of movie.
No, that's probably the most vulnerable you've been.
Mm. Thanks, man.
No, that because there are things and I from, you know, that you just, even though you love your wife dearly, you just know that she's going to sit there and go, oh, this is shit, isn't it? It's really slow. It's like, fuck off. He's going to kill her in a minute. There's going to be sex. I'm going to see her boobies and he's going to hatchet her head off and it's going to be great. You don't understand what's going on.
Get out of my world. You don't understand me.
Yeah.
I don't care if you don't like heavy metal music. I'm listening to it.
Yeah.
But because I find when it's movie night, when you're watching something together.
You always have to capitulate.
You have to go the type of movie she likes, which is like, you know, Sisters of the Traveling Pants or How to Make a Duvet in 4 days or, you know, Fried Green.
Love Actually. And if there's a chance of sex, you got to sit there and button up.
Fried Green Sandals on a Greek beach. My long lost.
Here we go. I love Dirty Dancing, don't you? No, not for the 117th fucking time. You know.
Yeah. Thanks. It's got to look like, you know, it's... I know the movie, like, just from, if you go to Netflix, I know it's like, it looks kind of like indie. It's like two women in a car. We'll never get this summer back again.
Somebody with a quirky fucking hat.
Yeah.
Like, oh, fuck off.
A guy with a satchel.
Yeah. A messenger. Some prick with a linen shirt and a messenger bag.
He drove me mad. I drove him to this hospital. She got the bus. I should make up movie titles for the movies your wife might like.
Yeah, he read a book.
So I'm going to keep Northmen for myself.
What's it on? Is it on some streaming series service somewhere?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it is.
You're gonna have to Google that, people. Yeah, we've started to see Succession now is becoming an issue in our house.
Why?
I like it.
Yeah.
Sally Ann, not so much.
Okay, you have to. That's a. It's almost like watch that on the jacks on your own, or when yeah. everyone else is.
Now that your man
or...
has gone back on drugs, it's just like it's dropped a gear. He's brilliant.
Oh, it's brilliant. Succession is boring. Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God, the ego is on. Yeah. Oh, Jesus
and Brian Christ. Cox, the physicist, what a phenomenal transformation. He must spend hours making.
Oh, it's fantastic. Succession is fantastic. Ozark?
I haven't watched the last seven. Okay. Yeah. I'm keeping that.
All right, that's good. Yeah. But would Sally Ann watch that with you?
No.
Okay, I watched all of Ozark on my own, Mike, you know? I think that makes us feel... Talk about emasculating me.
But no, this is we're giving. By doing that, we are giving. We're being vulnerable, and we're not sort of putting ourselves onto them.
No,
we're not.
We're not sulking. Fuck you. We're not divorcing them. We're not kicking them out of the house.
No,
we're not leaving the house for a younger lover from the Ukraine. Yeah. We are
Tony.
Saying, okay, fine. We'll go and watch it on our own.
I've just finished watching. Of course, I can't remember the name of it now because I wasn't expecting you to come on. Normally, I'll be writing stuff down.
Yeah, that's okay. This is good.
Steve Coogan's new thing on Channel 4, which I think you can binge on all four now. It was...
What's it about?
Him in Hollywood. He's a Hollywood...
Oh, yes.
I did mention it to us the other
day. It's called... is it called Stephen?
No, it's not called Stephen. That's a silly program.
Stephen? Chivalry.
Chivalry.
Yeah, Chivalry.
It's really, really, really odd television.
Okay.
I don't know how he got it made. I don't know how it got produced or whatever, because it doesn't really go anywhere. It's not... Well, it does. It's very Ricky Gervais. It's very Episodes. Remember Episodes?
Yeah.
Stephen Mangan.
Yeah.
English people having a hard time in Hollywood whilst dealing with Me Too. It's really fucking odd.
Okay.
But I watched it from beginning to end and I found it really, really, really addictive. Chivalry.
Chivalry. Check it out. What's it all about? I've been listening to a new podcast, Mike. I won't keep you much longer.
No. I was checking my watch because I feel
responsible for the time.
Vulnerable. I'm sure.
Well, you finished your beer, so I feel like you might want to go and get another beer.
I would have thought my wife now would have had the decent grace to bring me another one. I'm knocking
the
door.
Does she know how long it takes you to drink a beer?
Another one, darling? Oh, yeah, maybe.
She probably doesn't expect you to be finished. How long have we been talking?
I don't know.
We can wrap it up soon. It's fine. Fine. No, it's fine. I don't mind.
First on-air spat.
I don't mind. Fine.
Yeah, no, I don't really want to watch this.
I've been... I don't really want to talk about this. I don't like what we're talking about right now. It's too dark.
I don't want to talk about money.
Too noisy. I started listening to this new podcast called Evil Men.
Oh.
And I don't know. I feel like you might like it. I started with... Kind of the podcast I listen to the most now is called Stop Podcasting Yourself, which is two Canadian guys.
Oh, fucking Canadians.
Stop Podcasting Yourself. You don't like Canadians, do you? But these are cool Canadians. So Stop Podcasting Yourself, two Canadian guys. I think they're both comedians. One is definitely stand-up and the other is either a writer, a producer, or editor. He works in the area of television, whatever. They both seem to have like regular jobs, but they do comedy as well and they have this podcast and it's been going for years. Stop podcasting.
Episode 738.
Yeah. Like we're only on 130 2 or something.
I've subscribed to that now.
It's good. It's funny. Now give yourself a couple of episodes to get into it because they have their own quirky way, but it's very funny. Gotcha. And they've got really cool little features called like overheards or overseen or things you might have overheard people saying, and it's quite funny. But that brought me on to another. There's 3 Canadian guys who do a podcast called Evil Men, where they might rate an evil man. And it might be, for instance, like Genghis Khan or Hitler or even like Piers Morgan, or they might go for who are they talking about most recently? The dictator who was in charge of Kazakhstan. Turkmenistan. Who died maybe 10 years ago. So they're talking about him. So at the end of it, so one of them goes through this guy's life, all the terrible things he did. They did Prince Andrew, yeah, and then they rate him on the evil scale.
Excellent, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, like they did Blackbeard, and it was great because at the end they were like, he didn't seem like a bad guy. He's not evil. He just didn't like authority, and he didn't like the structure, the system, the political system, and you know he was fighting against the crown and doing his own thing. Kind of doing what they were doing anyway. So
raping countries.
So they're like, oh yeah, well, you know, he's got a bad rep, but he's actually probably wasn't a good guy. Wasn't a bad guy. He's quite rock and roll, and you know, they liked his spirit. So, but the opening bit is very funny because they just go through like they just ramble, talk shit about their lives, and it takes them all over the place, and they have these quirky ways of, they do these little impressions and.
Oh yeah.
You know, whatever comes up, it's just nonsensical. Like one story there were today, whatever episode I was listening to, the guy tells a story about the time he almost shat himself at a party, and he couldn't go to the toilet in the party because it was like a line of women.
And
he said it was like one of these toilets at the party that is like it's only tiny, so like he'd literally be on the other side of this. Of the door, like going, oh my god, oh Jesus, oh my god, like having that terrible,
crawled out
like,
of me.
You know, that really sort of like, oh my god, I'm gonna die, shit, you know, like bad diarrhea or whatever. So he had to leave the party, go find a garage nearby and use or the Dunkin' Donuts, or whatever, and use their jacks and just like, you know, basically he went into the toilet cubicle, basically stripped off and sat on the jack and just like.
Just let it all go.
I like
the idea of that. Yeah.
Naked. No, like, but not worrying about people standing outside the door and hearing them making noise and all that kind of stuff. Because you know, who cares about the Dunkin' Donuts customers hearing your fucking just.
In fact, when we're on Check It Out, Fesshole. I know I'm addicted to it on Twitter. Fesshole.
Yeah.
Fesshole. There was one the other day. I don't know if I forwarded it on to you or I must have retweeted it anyway. About a guy who said that when he's alone in the house, he has his shit in the shower, right? So he shits into his own hands. And then throws it at the bowl.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, why did you send that in, Mike?
And he gives
I told you that in confidence.
And sometimes he misses.
Oh, God. Why didn't he just leave it in the... Why couldn't he just leave it go down the plug hole or something?
No, just go down to the toilet. It's there.
Yeah, but you could just shit in the shower. Like, what's wrong with that, you know? Like, what's the difference? Shit in the shower. Well, don't be throwing it across the room.
Yeah, they're soil pipes. Yeah.
I mean, all you're doing is like there's going to be shit somewhere. Like there's going to be
splatter. There's going to be a bit of matter though. That's the problem. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, it could be some sort of something that's undigested might not get down the plug hole.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah. You might have to be forced.
And bigger particles, you know, going down that. Mm. You don't want a 2-inch taking a 4-inch.
Oh, I get you. That's what you... No. Slap in the hand. Slap on the wrist. Slap on the wrist. So anyway, that's Evil Men.
Yep. I'm subscribed. Yeah,
and then Fesshole is a Twitter account that you can follow where people basically anonymously confess to doing weird and crazy shit.
It's fantastic. It's not all about...
No, it's not all about poo.
No, no, no.
It is sometimes about poo. A lot about poo. And Mike, finally for me, and then I let you go and have a beer.
Okay.
I have an interview, an interview podcast coming out with, do you remember when I interviewed John? I don't know. It's not a new podcast. It's part of the Keep Watch podcast, but I hadn't interviewed anyone in so long.
Yeah. You forgot what to do.
Just me and you having the crack, which is brilliant. Yeah, So John Connell, who I interviewed before about his book, the running book and the cow book. He lives in the Midlands in Longford.
Yes,
and he has a new book out called, had it written down. I had the book beside me. Where did I put it? It's called, I can edit this bit out. It's absolutely fine. The Spirit, so I'll tell you what it is. During lockdown, he and his friend decided to go down the river that sort of runs around the back of his dad's farm house, mm-hmm. whatever. And it's a 2-day journey by canoe. It's called the Camlin River in Longford. And it's kind of like the big river in County Longford. And it goes to the Shannon. And basically during lockdown, they come up with a plan, himself and his friend Peter, and they got a 2-man canoe and they went down, they did the 2-day journey down the Camlin. And he basically wrote a book about it.
Wow.
And it is, it's really great, really great book. Really kind of like, you've heard about slow TV.
Yeah.
It's called The Stream of Everything. Sorry.
I like a bit of slow TV. I watched a train go through Australia for 4 hours once.
Yeah, but you were very stoned at the time, weren't you?
No. There's some controversial slow TV as well. There's a Norwegian guy stacking wood.
Oh, yeah. Hours. Yeah. I've heard about that.
Yeah. This lots of people really got pissed off because he was stacking it wrong.
Oh, I remember you selling that. Yeah.
But sorry, go on back to
this. This is so it's he goes down the Camlin with his mate Peter and he writes a book about it. And I suppose it's a memoir. And he talks, and lots of stuff comes up in it. Like he talks about the mayfly and they only live for one day. And he talks about like they have an encounter with some swans. And like even when they're heading off, like they head off down the river and they get to the first bridge and his mom and dad are standing on the bridge going, you know, and he shouts up to them, go, how far to New York or something like that, or next stop New York. But it's very funny. It's very nice, very slow. Like the pace of the river and the book and lockdown are all the same. Do you know what I mean? It's
slow.
Really nice, really well written, and lots of tangents. And then the conversations himself, Peter, have about life. And it's a beautiful book. And
I want to read it.
I can send you the copy when I'm finished reading it. But it's beautiful. And basically, he's kind of created a trilogy with the cow book, the running book, and now this book called The Stream of Everything, about the Camlin River in Longford. Just really nice. And he's such a nice guy to talk to. And you know me, I like to ask people questions about life and the bigger picture you know, mental health and well-being and all that kind of shit. All that wanky stuff.
And feelings sort of,
Yeah, feelings.
Feelings. So, when you said you had an interview, funnily enough, I've had a number of interviews. So we're gonna leave this week.
This episode, okay.
This episode, yeah, that's a good idea because that's not for a week. This episode with a cliffhanger. So number one,
we
talk about all this wanky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I went to see a life coach.
Ooh, Mike, I like that.
Yeah. And we can talk about this the next time.
All right.
Which I had a phenomenal experience talking to the one and only Paul Delahunt.
Paul Delahunt, okay.
Yeah, based in Shannon. You should listen. You should have him on your podcast, actually.
I will.
Yeah, he's quite an interesting chap. And based on what he said to me, and a few little pointers. Now, I know him personally before he became a life coach.
Right.
He said to me, you maybe need to go down this way and this route. And I know somebody who's looking for somebody in that. So that started off a chain of events, which means I'm starting a job on Monday morning, 9-ish. The agreement was, what time? 9-ish? Okay, 9-ish. But I was going to actually do a sort of teaser for you and Fergal Burke, our producer. And I was going to give you €20 or something, or buy you a drink, or buy you dinner if we ever met up. If you could tell me what the job was, if you could guess what the job was.
Ooh.
Because you never will. Look, that is a wife. See, that's a wife.
You got another can. You got another can.
Love her so much. I was bitching about her. So definitely, if you or Mr. Burke can guess what my new job is, if anybody out there can guess what my new job is, I guarantee you, you will not guess what my new job is going to be on Monday morning.
Are you excited?
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to be working in a place or remotely?
No, I'm going to be working in a place.
So you'll be going to
a building. This is something you cannot do remotely. This is something I've never done before. And I don't know anybody else who's never done it before. Actually, I do know one person who's done it before, but that's
through. It was just something that this person thinks you could do, and it's a kind of a brand new type of thing.
Yeah. It's not a brand new type of thing. It's actually
a thing.
It's one of the oldest things in known to. Not well, I'm not going to become.
Well, the oldest profession is prostitute. Yeah.
I'm becoming a male.
Nice. Finally. Fuck it. I've been hinting at it for so long.
Speaking of put a 4-inch and a 2-inch. But you won't guess. I don't think the listener will guess.
And you're obviously excited about it.
I am.
Do you have many bosses? Do you have colleagues?
I have colleagues. I have a boss, yeah. It's not something I'm doing on my own. You couldn't.
No, of course. No, no. But it's not like.
Have some really, really, really unusual colleagues. Very unusual.
Are your colleagues animals?
How dare you?
They're animals. Are your colleagues animals?
I can't tell you. This is supposed to be a fucking cliffhanger. It's supposed to be asking.
Okay. Okay, I'll let you go. I'll let you go on that note. So your job starts Monday.
Yeah.
That means I'll have to get this episode up before Monday because.
You don't really have to. I'll put it on Twitter on Monday anyway.
Fergal Burke will have to listen to it.
Yeah, I'll be sharing some. I'll be sharing some pictures on Monday.
Oh. I'm just glad that you're excited and.
Oh yeah, this is a different. This is a departure in so many ways, but not in so much in other ways.
Okay.
It's kind of obvious when you think about it. Well, it was to me.
Wow.
But I ummed and awed for 10 days, like I kind of, because of recent sort of.
Yeah, you don't want to get.
You don't want to fucking, you want to think about things now and just sort of, you know, mold yourself and think about things.
Mm.
Unfortunately, I'm dealing with a person who is very, very, very open.
Wow.
I've never met anybody as chilled and open.
Sounds amazing. And obviously this job just happens to be local to where you live and
localish, yeah. Very much commutable.
Mike, I'm thrilled, excited. Congratulations, and I look forward to hearing more about it. And enjoy your beers. You've earned it.
I do. This is gonna be my last night because tomorrow I'll be sort of like getting my stuff together. I don't know what I've got to do.
Putting a banana in a briefcase. Sandwiches and a banana in a briefcase.
And a little thing of sugar, just in case.
Can't
do bananas; it gives me bad heartburn. But I do like a banana. I understand what a banana sandwich means to a lot of people.
Yeah,
I was one of those soldiers.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
You can't beat a banana sandwich.
No, you wouldn't.
My son doesn't eat banana sandwiches, which I just think
nobody in this house eats bananas. Mm. I would love to. I'd eat my own body weight in bananas, but it gives me indigestion.
Oh, sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah.
At least you won't get the monkeypox. We'll talk about that next week as well.
I'm riding.
Mike, have a good evening.
Hey, thanks.
Lovely to talk to you.
And you.
Thanks for squeezing me in, man.
Hey, thanks for squeezing me
in. I know I'm not a very reliable.
Thanks for squeezing me in. Who's the 4-inch? Who's the 2-inch?
Hey.
I was talking about pipes when I mentioned that. For fuck's sake.
See you, Mike.
Good luck. Love you.
Good to see you.
Miss you.
I don't know if you really do. Like, you say these things. You miss me, do you?
I do. I love you, and I do miss you when you're not here.
Oh, Mike, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I'm being vulnerable and open.
I love you, Mike. I love you, Mike. Right.
You just say that now. Let's sit down.
But if I fake it till I make it, fake it till you make it, that's what they say.
Good luck.
I hate these movies, Mike. Fuck's sake.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.